Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through deeper connection to yourself, to others, and to every aspect of your life. Today we're going to be talking about the last step in stage 10, which is staying connected. Recognizing the separation triggers, the things that take you out of these beautiful later stages, and avoiding them, and also putting into place practices that will keep you in these beautiful later stages. And stage 10 is an absolutely gorgeous place to experience life from. And so once you get here, you don't want to get out. And so we're going to be talking about how do you stay there? How do you spend more and more and more and more time in these later stages as long as possible? Before we get started, a quick shout out to new listeners in Karachi, Pakistan. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for this connection. It's such a thrill to have you on board. Let me know how I can help. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, you just want to let me know how it's going as you work through these stages and figure out your own connection to this life, please use the link in the show notes. If you just scroll down, you'll see the show notes there. And there's a link that will take you over to the community page at CatherineColleen.com where you can send in your thoughts, ideas, and questions. Those come directly to me and you will hear back directly from me. On a kind of exciting note, this is our 100th episode, so I'm pretty stoked about that. So I'm really excited to be in stage 10 for this episode. So back to stage 10, staying connected and recognizing the separation triggers. Connecting to the oneness and connecting to this moment, living in that space is easier for you to do each time that you try. However, you are not immune to life. Life is a shared experience with lots of people doing lots of things. And there will be a steady stream of triggers that will take you out of this stage. Life happens. And we become disconnected from the oneness. We become disconnected from the moment. We become disconnected from others, even from ourselves and from life at large. And when you see how many separation triggers there are out there, it makes a lot of sense why monks isolate themselves. Because it's tough. Life keeps happening. The next thing you know, you're coming around the cycle again. And that's okay. And you're always going to have times when you come back around the cycle again. This too is the human experience. But we can lessen the number of times that that happens. We can make it faster to get right back around to stage 10 again when it does happen. And we can spend a lot more time in these beautiful later stages and a lot less time in the earlier stages, which, though the earlier stages are not lesser, but they sure are tougher. They sure do have a lot of, they can have a lot of negative emotions associated with it and be rather unenjoyable. So we'd like to stay in these later stages as long as possible. How do we do that? So this is a good time, now that you're solidified in stage 10, it's a good time to craft an environment that keeps you in these later stages as long as possible and helps you get back there quickly when you become disconnected. Connection, whether to yourself, to others, to this moment, is a fragile thing. I have found it's easily broken. So the first thing I want you to do is take some time now to write down the types of situations that disconnect you. What are your separation triggers? What disconnects you from yourself? What disconnects you from your energy? What disconnects you from others? What disconnects you from this moment? What disconnects you from your life and your purpose? And what disconnects you from the oneness or the divine? And this can be very individual. This will not be the same list of things for each person. And I want you to be really specific. So let me give you some examples. Some common triggers that a lot of people typically list. This may not look like your list, but it might give you some ideas in a direction. Not getting exercise or movement. If you go for a period of time and you're used to getting exercise or movement, and then for some days you don't get exercise or movement, that can be a situation that triggers you to disconnect from yourself, from your body, from your energy, from your sense of who you are. It can cause you to disconnect from others. It can cause a lot of interesting effects. Sometimes eating specific foods can disconnect you. Why? Because if you have a bad reaction to them, if they give you pain or cause other sort of health problems, certain foods can cause you to disconnect. There's nothing like being in pain to pull you right back around to stage three. What about worrying about specific future issues? If you're living in the future, worrying about this and worrying about that, that's disconnecting you from this moment. That has a whole cascade of effects, disconnecting you from this moment, from yourself. Because everything about connection exists in this moment. So if you're living in the future, worrying about things, then that's something you want to try to stop doing. Likewise, if you're living in the past, if you're regretting specific past events, if you're reading or watching the news, that's why. Because, and I did an analysis of this once. You can do a search at the website and try to find that one in the observations section. If you analyze your favorite news feed, you're going to find that it is 97% fear, that articles are written, headlines are written to induce fear. And when you put yourself in a fear state, you're going to pull yourself back to stage two or three, usually three. And also the news can induce a lot of ideological thinking, and that can pull you to stage five. Places that are just angry and offended and fearful and oof, that's some nasty stuff. So reading or watching the news can be a real major separation trigger for most people. Likewise, looking at social media. You would think this would be something that would help us connect to other people, but it's not real connection. You probably go there looking for real connection, but people don't really talk about the fullness of their life, the full reality of their lives on social media. So all you're getting is the parts that they're proud of, that they want you to see. What you're not getting is the parts of their life that they actually need your support with, that they actually need your help and connection to handle. So it's not real connection. And that ultimately is going to have an effect of separating you from these other people rather than actually bringing you closer. So too much social media, that's a major separation trigger. For some people, watching too much TV. Negative self-talk, right? Saying ugly things to yourself. Be nice to yourself. saying nasty things to yourself. That's not coming from a place of the one consciousness. If you treat your purpose as unimportant. There you go. You just identified with that one. What is your purpose and why are you not making it a priority? That's disconnection from your purpose, which is a way of disconnecting from yourself, your true self. Perhaps you keep missing out on your meditation or your prayer or whatever combination of things you like to do. That can disconnect you from your energy, from the consciousness, from yourself. There may be distractions that come between you and your friends, or distractions that come between you and your partner. They may be called children. Boy, there's a way to end up with a separation trigger between you and your partner. But you've got to make these relationships a priority and be really honest about which of these relationships are actually a priority for you, and then act like it. Illness or injury. This is a separation trigger for all of us. Illness and injury will land you right back between stages 2 and 3. Stage 2, I am my experiences. And you're sitting there wallowing in an experience of illness or injury. And stage 3, I am my needs. I am experiencing this injury, this illness, and I have needs. And it's a crappy place to be. Sometimes this is unavoidable, but sometimes it is avoidable. So if you can avoid it, you should. And you might say, well, I always try to avoid illness and injury. Do you? Look again, and sometimes you may find that you worked yourself into it. Sometimes you may find you were looking for an excuse, so your subconscious provided one. Other times it's simply unavoidable. How about a good election season? Oh my, there is nothing like an election season to pull us all back into stage 5. And then we're all running around and angry and offended and self-righteous, and we're so right and everybody else is so wrong. And in that, you're so disconnected from everybody, but also from your true self. Sometimes there may be specific people who seem to pull you back into earlier stages. Have you ever had that? Sometimes there are specific people that, for whatever reason, maybe they're toxic people, maybe you can't quite put your finger on it, you don't know why, but they just, every time you hang out with them, you seem to get pulled back into earlier stages. Even things like work stress or your daily commute can be triggers that separate you. Lack of sexual fulfillment, that might separate you from things. Now, there's a lot of debate around this one. There are schools of thought that say that sexual activity will actually disconnect you from the divine. There are yet other schools of thought from the tantric side that say that sexual activity is a mechanism towards connection. I tend to be in the school that says this is a methodology for connection. I think it can be what you make it. It can be a methodology for connection, or it can be a methodology for disconnection. And you will have to decide. It's all on how you approach it. You will have to decide what that is for you. So these are just a few ideas. Triggers are individual, and your list might look quite a bit different. Now, once you know what causes you to disconnect, you can craft an environment that avoids it as much as possible. So, for example, You might find ways to make your daily commute a source of connection instead of disconnection by calling a loved one or listening to books or podcasts that give you fuel for your purpose or that are just fun. You might organize your calendar to ensure time for exercise and to make sure you have quality time connecting with your partner. You might make a rule that phones and devices are not allowed when you gather with friends. One idea is you place all the phones face down on the table and the first person to pick up their phone has to pay the bill. Get creative, but make connection a priority and make the maintenance of connection a priority. Ultimately, life will take you around the cycle again, but you can, with these safeguards in place, get back to these blissful later stages quickly and stay there longer. And that is our goal. So, what changes are you going to make to safeguard your connection? What practices and rules can you put in place for yourself? Let me know what you come up with. You can scroll down in the show notes, use the link there to send me your thoughts and ideas and questions. That comes directly to me, and you'll hear back directly from me. So thanks for joining me this time on our 100th episode. Very cool. And as always, I'm wishing you, Perna Asati, complete connection.